So I have the good fortune of trying to say something about Srimati Radharani on her appearance day. It's not an easy subject matter, although in one sense it's half our philosophy. Radha and Krishna are two halves of the same philosophy. But according to Srila Prabhupada, our authority, to actually understand Srimati Radharani, one has to be fully in the internal energy. And then one can begin to understand Srimati Radharani. So therefore I've looked at Srila Prabhupada's lectures on Radhasami, and there aren't many, and I've tried to say something, present something that Prabhupada presented, because I'm sure he knows Srimati Radharani much better than I do. So today is the birth appearance day of Srimati Radharani. She was born 15 days after Lord Krishna. So there are two different energies. One of the energies is called the material energy, and we have a lot of experience of the material energy with the three modes of nature, goodness, passion, ignorance. And there's another energy called the spiritual energy. And Srimati Radharani is the manifestation of that energy, the internal energy, or Ladini Shakti. So Lord Krishna is the Supreme Brahman, as we've heard. So the question is, what kind of enjoyment does the Supreme Brahman have? Everyone has a tendency to want to enjoy something. And because we've come from Krishna, Krishna is the original source of everything. Therefore, everything is a manifestation of Krishna's energies. So the question is, since we have a tendency to want to enjoy something, therefore, what kind of enjoyment does Krishna have? So this class is mostly about two things. What kind of enjoyment does Krishna have? And why is he trying to enjoy Srimati Radharani? What kind of person or personality is Srimati Radharani? It may seem quite obvious, but then again, even the most obvious things in our philosophy are really not so obvious. In one sense, they're obvious that we're not this body, but then again, it's not completely obvious. Similarly, it's obvious that Krishna is God according to our philosophy, but how Krishna is God is obviously not so obvious to us. So Radharani is the pleasure potency, Ladini Shakti, Ananda Maya Vyasa. In the Vedanta Sutra, the Absolute is described as Ananda Maya Vyasa. Just like Ananda, when you want to enjoy pleasure, you have to enjoy pleasure with others. For instance, if there was no one in this room for Radhasmi, luckily you're all here, then it wouldn't be very enjoyable to give a lecture on Radhasmi by myself. Of course, the deities would hopefully be here. Still, it wouldn't be as enjoyable. So pleasure means people have to be involved. Without people, it's not very pleasurable. The more people involved, generally speaking, the more pleasurable it is. So Ananda, Krishna's interested in Ananda in relationship. And what is that relationship? According to the Srup Damodar, Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Ladini Shakti Asmad Ekat Ma Vavapi Bhuvo Dehe Dehagato Tao Chaitanyakyam Prakatam Aduna Tadvayam Chaikyam Aptam Radha Bhava Suvalitam Nami Krishna Srupam. That Krishna, he is one as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he's divided himself into two, Radha and Krishna, for his enjoyment. And then he comes back again as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. So we have to understand that to enjoy a little bit of pleasure, spiritual pleasure, great, great personalities like, for instance, Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj was the emperor of the whole universe. Well, at least what we could say, Bhumandala, more than this tiny earth planet that we're on now. And he had fabulous wealth, he had a beautiful wife and children, so much horses and so much gold and opulence, and yet he gave up everything and went to the forest to find Krishna, to meditate upon Krishna. Similarly, Lord Buddha was also a prince, and he had unlimited enjoyment, wealth, beautiful women, but he gave that all up and went into the forest for self-realization. So if a person looking for happiness gives up material enjoyment, even insignificant material enjoyment compared to what's possible, what to speak of the Supreme Brahman, Krishna? What does he have to do with material enjoyment? If to find Krishna, people give up all material, their material enjoyment, why would Krishna be involved in any kind of material enjoyment? So Krishna is enjoying hundreds and thousands of Lakshmis according to the Brahma Samhita. As we heard, Chintamani Prakarsa Masu Kapa Vriksha Lakshmi Sahasra Shatasambrama Savyamanam. That there are hundreds and thousands of Lakshmis, they're all serving Krishna. Ananda Chimaya Rasa Prati Bhavita Bhistya Eva Nija Nipataya Kalabhi. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, in his own realm, Goloka with Radha, resembling his own spiritual figure, the embodiment of the ecstatic potency, possessed of the 64 artistic activities, in the company of her confidence, Sakis, embodiments of the extensions of her bodily form, permeated and vitalized by his own ever-blissful spiritual rasa. In the Brahma Samhita, you'll find that he expands his Anandamaya rasa, Chinmaya rasa, develops a transcendental pleasure potency, and these gopis are expansion of his pleasure potency, and Radharani is the center. So Srimati Radharani is the full manifestation of pleasure potency. Now, what we've experienced in pleasure potency, of that pleasure potency, may vary according to our level of advancement in spiritual life. But that pleasure potency is far different from the material pleasure potency, which is just a shadow of the actual spiritual pleasure potency. So Srimati Radharani is not an ordinary woman. Her birth was not from an ordinary human being. She was found in the field. Vishubhanu was plowing with a golden plow, and he found Srimati Radharani in that field. So what can we know about Srimati Radharani or Lord Krishna and his relationship? Just like, for instance, if we want to know a big personality in this material world, like, for instance, I don't know who's a big personality in our view nowadays, but someone like the president of Slovenia, who I don't know at all. If I want to know about him, then what can I know about him, especially his intimate affairs, unless I become connected with him somehow or another through some kind of service? Then I cannot know about what his relationship is with his family and his family members. So, if we do not understand Krishna, how can we understand how Krishna is enjoying? So we play to Srimati Radharani, because Krishna is all attractive, but Radharani is so great, she even attracts Krishna. Krishna is known as Madan Mohan, and Srimati Radharani is known as Madan Mohan Mohini. So it's inconceivable. First of all, if we think about who Krishna is, this universe, which is inconceivable to us, that he pervades it with a little fragment. He's in every atom. And he knows each one of us by name. I don't know half of you by name. But if you ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he could tell you, if you could hear him, everyone's name here in the room, everyone's name is Slovenian. He speaks Slovenian. He also can speak with the birds outside. He knows everything past, present, and future. Completely inconceivable, the amount of knowledge that Krishna has. So he's all attractive because he has unlimited beauty, so much beauty that when Krishna was in Vrindavan, even the trees were attracted to Krishna, even the birds, even the lakes, even the inanimate objects like the deer and the cows are all attracted to Krishna. That, it says in the Krishna book, is the perfect description of Krishna's all attractiveness. So that the gopis, everyone has a tendency to love someone, that Krishna should be the object of love is the central point of Krishna consciousness. The gopis are perfect examples that simply by remembering Krishna's pastimes, one can develop love for Krishna. That Krishna, everyone has a tendency to love someone, that Krishna should be the object of that love is the central point of Krishna consciousness. By chanting Hare Krishna and remembering Krishna's pastimes, everyone can be fully in Krishna consciousness and thus make their life sublime and fruitful. So if Krishna is so attractive, but who is he attracted to? Srimati Radharani is known as Madan Mohan Mohini. How much pleasure she must have to attract the person who gives everyone else pleasure. So, in the Bhagavatam is mentioned as Anayaradyate. Her name is not mentioned. It's said that Shukadeva Goswami, he had 7 days to speak the Bhagavatam to Pariksha Maharaj. And it's said that if he would have spoken Srimati Radharani's name during the 7 days, he would have went into trance and they would have lost a couple of days. So he avoided mentioning Srimati Radharani, and she was mentioned indirectly by the words Anaradyate, one who is the best worshiper of Krishna. So Lord Krishna is the energetic, and Srimati Radharani is the energetic. Just like whenever you have heat, whenever you have fire, automatically you have heat and light. There's no question of having fire without having heat and light. Similarly, wherever Krishna is, Srimati Radharani is there because she is the full energy of Krishna. And wherever the energy is there, namely Srimati Radharani, then Krishna must be there. Therefore, we always say Radha and Krishna. We worship Radha with Krishna. We never find, even if we think we find Krishna, Srimati Radharani alone, but she's always with Krishna. We may not understand that, just like here we have a picture of Srimati Radharani, but this is Radharani speaking to the bumblebee. And what she's speaking about Krishna. She's never apart from Krishna. Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshri Vrishubhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hare Priye. Therefore we offer respects to Srimati Radharani, whose bodily complexion is like molten gold and who is the queen of Vrindavan. You are the daughter of King Vrishubhanu. You are very dear to Lord Krishna. So Sarup Damodar has described the intimate philosophy, intricate philosophy of Radha and Krishna, one verse, a very nice verse. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Ladini Shakti Asmad. Although Radha and Krishna one in their identity previously, they separated themselves. Now these two transcendental identities have united in the form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I bow down to him who has manifested himself through the sentiment and complexion of Srimati Radharani, although he is Krishna himself. So if we really want to understand Srimati Radharani, and this is our purpose, this is the goal of our society, of our Hare Krishna movement, is to actually intimately associate with Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world. It is not just a dream or an imagination. It is a possibility if we take the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seriously. One time, Ramaswar Prabhu, who was the head of the BBT, he wrote to Srimati, he was having a discussion with the devotees in Los Angeles about the Sankirtan devotees going out and bringing people to Krishna as being equivalent to the gopis bringing other gopis to be with Krishna. And of course, this seemed quite esoteric, and so there was some controversy, and Ramaswar Prabhu wrote to Srila Prabhupada asking him if it's true that when the Sankirtan devotees go out and they attempt to bring others to the Hare Krishna movement, is this the same thing as the gopis going out and bringing others to Krishna, Radha and Krishna? And Prabhupada said, you've understood the philosophy, he wrote back, that this is true, that this is the same mood of the Sankirtan movement. Actually, this whole Sankirtan movement, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the center of the Sankirtan movement, that means that Srimati Radharani and Krishna are the center of this movement, because Lord Chaitanya is Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. And our Harinam, our Sankirtan, is nothing more less than the Rasa dance, but it's an acceptable Rasa dance. So, we cannot understand Radha Krishna philosophy in the conditioned state. It's meant for liberated souls. Liberated souls beyond the material concept of life, who have actually entered into their spiritual bodies, they can actually fully understand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, because of the nature of simply transcendental pleasure and love. So as long as one is conditioned by material conceptions, material relationships, there's no question of actually experiencing that transcendental relationships and love, because it wouldn't be possible. It's not possible to enter into fire unless one becomes just like fire. If you want to enter into water, you have to become just like water. So unless we become just like Radha and Krishna, it is not possible to enter into the actual experience of their transcendental loving exchanges. So in the beginning, we have to worship Radha and Krishna as Lakshmi Narayan by regular principles. As much as we can follow the regular principles, getting up early in the morning, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, serving the deities, which can be done anywhere, even in our home. It's not that only the temple, Radha and Krishna can be there, or Lakshmi Narayan. Anywhere, if we're serious about becoming Krishna conscious, then we can follow the regular principles of devotional service and gradually become purified to the platform of liberation. And at the platform of liberation, when our senses and minds become purified, then we'll actually be able to feel Krishna's presence, both in his holy name, in his deity form, in the books, everything. We'll be able to feel Krishna's presence. Srimati Radharani and Krishna's, and their expansions, their presence everywhere and all the time. At that platform, we can begin to understand. It's just like if you put the iron in the fire, it gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and then eventually becomes just like fire. So when we seriously follow the principles of devotional service, then we'll become like fire, and they will be able to experience what fire actually is like. So in the beginning, we follow Vidhi Marga, which is we have to utilize our senses and mind in the service of Lakshmi Narayan and serve Krishna with opulence. Spontaneous love is only possible when our hearts are completely purified. So we want to understand Krishna very quickly. And then Prabhupada said there'll be so many prakriti sahajyas. It's like sometimes they ask Prabhupada, can you tell me the science of Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada said, really? He said, if you want to become a physicist, do you go to the university and say, can you tell me in 15 minutes the whole science of physics? Even a mundane science is not possible to understand so easily. What to speak of this sublime science of Krishna consciousness? It takes practice, suitable practice and detachment, according to the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, that the more we absorb our minds in the service, especially of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, then the more he'll give us some mercy. When I was distributing books, just as a sidelight, many of the devotees were deeply absorbed in distributing books. Sometimes they didn't follow so strictly, but I was observant that these devotees seem to have gotten some special mercy from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Generally speaking, if one did the same thing that they were doing sometimes, they would get very deeply into Maya. But somehow or another, by their sincere efforts of preaching, they seem to get some special dispensation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and were able to more or less keep on with their devotional service despite some difficulties they may be experiencing. So we're waiting for that fortunate moment when we're liberated. As it says, Vishayacharya, then when will my mind become purified? They'll actually be able to enter into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Gauranga balite habi pulaka sharir hari hari vipale naine babe nir. When will that day come when I'm chanting the name of Gauranga and there'll be a shivering in my body? When I'll chant the name of Krishna and tears will come from my eyes. So we're waiting for that day, but we have to become eligible for that day. Of course, eligibility doesn't mean that somehow or another, by our effort, we're going to become qualified. But if we follow the principles that are given to us by our acharyas and sincerely try to follow them and try to distribute Krishna consciousness to others to the best of our ability, then Krishna will become compassionate. And even more than Krishna, Srimati Radharani will become compassionate to us. I remember sometimes I was serving these deities of Radha and Krishna. I've had practically every service in the movement. I mean every service. I was also Pujari. And even on book distribution, we could see that Krishna reciprocates not so much because of our great qualifications, but because of simply compassion. That when we feel ourselves fallen, when we feel ourselves helpless, and we actually turn to Srimati Radharani and Krishna to help us, then we become qualified to receive their help. And if we think we're great, great personalities, we've done so much, I've made so many devotees, I've distributed so many books, I've chanted so nicely, I studied so many verses, certainly Krishna must surrender to me. But Krishna seems to go far, far away. So often, on book distribution, you go out there, you look at all these people, and they look like they're about to devour you. They think, excuse me, and they say, there's no excuse for you. Why don't you get a job? Well, this is my job. Oh, so sorry. And then you're more or less you think, oh, if I approach the next person, he might bite me. And I got so many bites already. I don't know. Might get the rabies. And then you feel a little humble and you think, my only hope is, you know, pray to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna. And then they start sending people. They say, oh, what's in your hand? Well, you don't want to know. No, I'm really interested. Let me take a look. How much is it? How much can I give you for it? Really? Yeah, sure. Here, is $20 enough? Well, could you give a little more? Sure, no problem. And after a while, people are just, you know, distributing books. Everyone, you say, stop, and they stop. You take this book, yes, sir, and they give you a donation. And you think, yeah, I'm in control, finally. And as soon as you think like that, excuse me, sir, and get lost. Get out of my face. So, Radha and Krishna is always with, they're always with us, and when we have the right mood, they reciprocate with us. And as soon as we change our mood, as soon as we deviate a little bit, they help us out. They go far away, and we're back in our world of material existence. So Rupa Goswami has the song, and we don't have time for it, but I'll just read some of the translation. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Dayate Gokulatarani Mandala Mahite. O Radha, O Madhava Beloved, O you whom all the young girls of Gokula worship, all glories unto you, all glories unto you. O you who dress yourself so as to make Lord Damodar love you more and more, O Queen of Lord Hari's pleasure grove, Vrindavan. O new moon arisen from the ocean of King Vrishabhanu, O friend of Lalita, O you whose virtues delight Vrishaka. O merciful goddess, O you whose divine qualities are sung by Sanatana, Sanakana, and Sanatan Kumaras, our merciful Radha, please be, have mercy on me. So, here we find Rupa Goswami singing about this girl. So who is this girl? She's being worshipped by brahmacharis. Now, how many brahmacharis worship women? Maybe too many, I don't know. But these are not ordinary brahmacharis. These are real brahmacharis. These are little boys who have been around for millions of years, 5 years old, and wandering even up to the spiritual world to meet Lord Narayan. And they're worshipping this lady, Srimati Radharani. So how can she be an ordinary lady? She is the pleasure potency. So Krishna is after Srimati Radharani, and everything about her is transcendental. And in Vrindavan, if you go to Vrindavan, you'll find that, at least previously, Vrindavan is an interesting place nowadays, but previously, when I first went to Vrindavan, everyone was chanting all the time, Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. And if you still go there, you see someone has written around, everywhere you go in Vrindavan, you see this Sanskrit, probably the only Sanskrit word you might learn. In the Devanagari, it says Radha, Radhe. You think, whoa, what's this? Radhe, Radhe. Everywhere in Vrindavan, someone has written Radhe. So, the lesson is, we should not treat Srimati Radharani as an ordinary girl or Krishna as an ordinary man. They're the supreme truth. And Radharani is Hari Priya, very dear to Krishna. So if we approach Krishna through Srimati Radharani, then our lives will become successful. If we approach Krishna through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's Krishna in the mood of Radharani, Srimati Radharani, then our lives will become successful. Now if we offer a flower to Krishna, Krishna has no reason to accept it. So if we offer a flower to Srimati Radharani, and we say, my dear Srimati Radharani, I'm fallen, I'm insignificant, I have no opportunity to approach Krishna directly, but you're very dear to Krishna. So maybe please offer this flower to Krishna on my behalf. So what will Srimati Radharani do? She'll tell Krishna, my dear Krishna, there is a real devotee that please accept this flower. Actually, I'm not really your devotee, I'm just aspiring to become your devotee, but this is a real devotee who's offering this flower. And he asked me to offer this flower to you. So please accept this flower. So Prabhupada said, no matter how rascal, fallen I may be, because Srimati Radharani is requesting Krishna to accept this flower, therefore he has to accept it. Therefore Prabhupada's advice is we shouldn't try to directly approach Krishna, but we approach Krishna through his representatives. And the more we approach Krishna through his representatives, the more we become eligible to achieve Krishna's mercy. Therefore, it says the acharyas, especially, are either the personal associates of Srimati Radharani or the representatives of Lord Nityananda. So the acharyas, like Srila Prabhupada, their instructions, their words, their philosophy, we have to take very seriously. And if we try to understand it and approach Krishna appropriately, then we're become eligible to actually one day meet Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. It said that even Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, when he finally got to Goloka Vrindavan and met Radha and Krishna in his Manjari form, this is one of our great acharyas, he was actually very embarrassed and shy before them. That's normal, because we cannot imagine how wonderful Radha and Krishna actually are, what to speak of how wonderful Krishna's devotees are also. So we shouldn't be so quick to jump and think we've understood Srimati Radharani, or we've understood even Krishna, but if we approach them appropriately, then one day more and more we'll understand them, and the more we'll find out how nice they are and how nice their associates are. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.